Next speaker is Edupilapati Rao. He's going to talk about drought resistance and phaseolus.
Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to share with you some of our recent work done at the International Center for Tropical Agriculture. The acronym in Spanish is CIAT. And this work shows that drought resistance in elite lines of common bean is associated with higher values of pod harvest index. This work was done in close collaboration with our bean breeder, Steve Beebe, and his research support staff, together with the physiology research support staff. Common bean is world's most important food legume for direct human consumption for at least 375 million people in Latin America and 200 million people in sub-Saharan Africa. It's an important source of calories and minerals, particularly to women and children. Experimental yields of bush beans can be as high as 4 tons per hectare, while climbing beans can be as high as 6 tons per hectare. And about 80% of the total production, which is 17 million metric tons, is from smallholder systems in developing countries. Here are some numbers in terms of production in Latin America and Africa. In Latin America, we have 7 million hectares with about 6.1 million metric tons of production, with an average yield of around 864 kilos per hectare. In sub-Saharan Africa, the area is 6.8 million hectares. The production is 4.2 million metric tons with an average yield of 617. You can see the potential yield versus the realized yield on farm. There's a huge yield gap. And most of that gap is related to both biotic and abiotic constraints as well as management. In terms of abiotic constraints, drought is the most important one. Over 60% of the area is affected by drought. Phosphorus deficiency affects about 50% of the area, whereas nitrogen deficiency, particularly in Africa, is about 60% of the area. And in acid soils, aluminum toxicity together with phosphorus deficiency limits the yield. And each dot there that you see in red is like 500 hectares of bean growing area. So drought-adapted bean varieties we see as are an important part of a strategy to minimize crop failure and to improve food security in bean-growing regions. And we believe that the superior performance of common bean under terminal or intermittent drought has been associated with the combination of root rights, particularly deep rooting, and shoot rights, particularly in terms of mobilization of photosynthetes to developing grain. We have seen huge genotypic variability. We published a paper in Crop Science in 2008 that shows the breeding advances. And now this presentation shows the physiological basis for its improved yield under drought. In terms of mechanisms of adaptation to drought in common bean, there has been significant work done for the past 30 years. Jeff White has made significant advances showing that both early maturity and deep rooting are important for drought resistance in common bean. And more recently, in the last 10 years, we have accumulated evidence that shows that greater mobilization of photosynthetes under drought stress contributes to this improved drought resistance together with deep rooting ability. And this work, as I mentioned, was done together with bean breeders Shri Singh, Steve Beebe, Matthew Blair. Here are the weather conditions at CIAT Palmyra, where we do the field work. As you can see there, in terms of rainfall distribution between June to August is a short window for us where we can do these drought trials. These data are average of 20 years of rainfall data, where we can get around 110 millimeters of rainfall during those 3 months, and the crop will be grown mostly during that time to test for drought resistance. And we use a couple of irrigations to establish the trials, and the trials are under rain-fed conditions and compared to the irrigated conditions. And here to your right, you see the maximum and minimum temperatures and the radiation. So the experimental conditions include a deep soil mollisol with about 130 millimeters of available water up to 1 meter depth. And we have conducted three field trials over three seasons. We had, in 2007 and 2008, we had intermittent drought, and in 2009, we had terminal drought. And we used two levels of water supply, irrigated condition and rain-fed condition, as I mentioned. And we used 36 genotypes, including most of our recently developed bread materials, and we use a lattice design with three replications. Here are the data that show the rainfall distribution. In 2007 and 2008, when we had intermittent drought, and in 2009, when we had terminal drought. And as you can see, under terminal drought conditions, we had a rainfall of about only 59 millimeters during those 3 months, and we used three irrigations during that period, and total water applied was 105 millimeters. And the pan evaporation was about 462 millimeters. Whereas under intermittent drought conditions, we had more water, so the yield reductions were lower. The parameters measured, we picked two growth stages, mid-pod filling stage and at harvest. And at mid-pod filling, we measured leaf area index, trimeter distribution, photosynthetic efficiency, chlorophyll content, total non-structural carbohydrates and ash contents in the shoot tissue, and we also measured carbon isotope discrimination in the leaf and canopy temperature and canopy temperature depression. At harvest, we measured grain yield, yield components, pod partitioning index, pod harvest index, stem biomass reduction. This is like stem biomass at mid-fill minus the stem biomass at harvest that gives the mobilization of photosynthates from stems to the grain. I will talk a little bit about the pod partitioning index and pod harvest index in the next slide. Total non-structural carbohydrates, phosphorus and ash content in seed, and then seed carbon isotope discrimination and harvest index. Harvest index is very difficult to do with beans because of leaf fall, so that's why we try to break that down into pod partitioning index, pod harvest index, and stem biomass reduction. Here this figure shows what pod partitioning index is. Basically the biomass difference of pod biomass at harvest by shoot biomass at mid-pod fill times 100. That's the proportion of biomass that is in the pods at maturity versus the total shoot biomass at mid-pod fill. And pod harvest index is basically the pod wall thickness versus the seed fill. Basically it's grain weight over total pod biomass times 100. So it's mobilization. The first one is mobilization from vegetative structures into pods. The second one is mobilization from pod wall to seed. So here you can look at the yield response in terms of rain-fed conditions versus irrigated, and you could see some genotypes, particularly this one, NCB226, which is a small-seeded black genotype, and the commercial cultivar to compare that one with is here. It's DO390. So this is a commercial cultivar in Central America, and what you see in terms of yield improvement and rain-fed conditions in NCB26 is an advance in terms of breeding. And SEN56 is also a small-seeded black one, and DO390 is the check for that. And similarly, Theocanella is a small-seeded red grain, and that's a commercial cultivar in Central America, and all the lines that are coded with SER are the advanced lines compared to that check. And Perola is a very widely grown carioca type, grain type in Brazil. It's grown around, the cariocas are grown around 2 million hectares in Brazil, and SXB lines are the advanced materials for it. And we have here under intermittent drought as well as terminal drought, and this line NCB226 as well as SEN36 and SEN56 are some of the black seeded ones that have shown significant improvement in drought resistance compared to their checks. And these lines are also responsive to irrigation when the farmer has that possibility, particularly in environments like in Brazil. And if you look at these numbers under both intermittent and terminal drought, you can see in the case of terminal drought, if you compare DO 390 versus NCB 226, most of the, if you look at the canopy biomass, it's very similar. So the big difference was mostly in terms of mobilization of that dry matter into the grain. Same happened under intermittent drought conditions. If you look at these numbers in terms of pod partitioning index, that's in terms of the biomass that is into pods compared to the total shoot vigor, again, same thing. If you compare the DO 390 versus NCB 226, under both intermittent and terminal drought, the partitioning made a big difference in terms of improving yield. Again, in terms of pod harvest index, this is mobilization from pod wall to seed. Again, the same situation, particularly under terminal drought, you could see an improvement in terms of mobilization. We also measured the carbon isotope discrimination, and in the case of leaf, as Jeff White found, we didn't see any relationship with the yield, with leaf CID, but with the grain CID, we did see a good correlation. And compared to 390, though 390, you could see that the discrimination was greater under NCB, implying that it has used more water. And we looked at root distribution of these two genotypes together with six other genotypes, and you could see here again, in terms of deep rooting ability, they haven't been differed that much. So the big difference in terms of improved genotypes came from mobilization of photosynthetes. Looking through a number of plant attributes and their correlation with yield, again, pod harvest index showed consistently across both intermittent and terminal drought stress conditions, good correlation with yield, together with 100 seed weight, and also under terminal drought, you could see the earliness in terms of days to flowering or days to maturity also showed good relationship. So basically what we have is like earliness combined with deep rooting combined with greater mobilization of photosynthetes. So in conclusion, these studies indicated that a few elite lines, the small seeded blacks, Carioca and a red line, was superior in their adaptation to either intermittent or terminal drought stress, and this superior performance of these lines under drought was associated with higher values of leaf area index, canopy biomass, pod partitioning index, and pod harvest index. Pod harvest index was identified as a selection method in addition to seed yield for improving genetic adaptation of common bean under drought stress conditions. Thank you for your attention. We have looked at nitrogen. There is genotypic difference in terms of partitioning of nitrogen. Some of the improved lines, particularly lines like the ones that fix more nitrogen, have greater partitioning of nitrogen to the seed. We have a historical line called BAT477, which is adapted to a number of abiotic stress conditions, and it's also superior in fixing nitrogen. And that one particularly partitions greater proportion of nitrogen to seed. Yeah, what is happening is like beans has this wild bean ancestry. We still see some of those genes expressed in common bean where the crop seem to grow vegetatively even after seeing drought stress. So those type of materials that grow vegetatively more, they are not mobilizing that nitrogen to the grain. Whereas the ones that are not growing vegetatively that much after the onset of flowering and pod set, those are the ones that are mobilizing nitrogen to the grain more. That's what we say. Is that answer your question? Yeah, I haven't shown that data. Canopy temperature depression doesn't show very good relationship. The ones that are using more water are showing more depression and yield. but it is not consistent. There are also some genotypes that are low yielding, are also having greater depression of canopy temperature simply because they have more deeper roots, pump more water, and use the water to grow more vegetatively rather than mobilize photosynthesis to grain. Yes. Yeah, very good question, because we do think that grain filling is a key process and the improved genotypes seem to fill the grain better. For example, that NCB226 has 30 grams per 100 seed, whereas the DO390 is only like 22 grams per 100 seed. So in terms of the importance of grain filling, we really see a big effect. Yes. Thank you.